From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News on the podcast. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mocha.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do the news!
Wow!
Thank you. Thank you. Give it a little bit more today.
That's what she said.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
I got to play this. There's finally a verdict in the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas lawsuit. So Mariah Carey won her federal court ruling after a judge. There we go. This was all over All I Want for Christmas. So the judge rejected allegations from a singer and songwriter named Vince Vance.
Okay.
That Mariah Carey and everybody else associated with her version of All I Want for Christmas stole his version of All I Want for Christmas, which came out in 1989. So here's the Vince Vance version.
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah, it sounds the same.
Yeah.
I don't need sleigh rides in the snow.
It's just the theme, right?
Nope.
Here we go. Ready?
Here. Oh, shoot.
Right?
So the judge said what?
So this is like it's a good ruling for Mariah, but it's a savage ruling for both of them. So the judge ruled that Vance had failed to show that the songs were similar enough to violate copyright law. The judge cited analysis by a musicologist who said that the two tracks were, quote, very different songs that only shared, quote, commonplace Christmas song cliches.
Oh, no. That sucks, dude. That sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for Mariah.
Yeah.
But I think he was also ordered to pay her legal fees.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The way it works.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was reading this article on how AI is going to change the legal business, right? So over the past few years, a growing number of law firms and lawyers have figured out ways to use AI to boost the efficiencies of their law firms and reduce costs. So according to recent figures, 73% of legal experts now plan on incorporating AI into their daily operations. 65% of law firms agree that effective use of generative AI will separate the successful and unsuccessful law firms within the next 5 years.
Ooh.
This is where it gets crazy. AI automation, as we know, they use it to speed up contract analysis, document summarization, and case research, which means a shift away from the super slow traditional methods that they've all used in the industry for years, saving 4 hours per week and the opportunity to increase annual billable time per lawyer by $100,000.
Oh, my God.
So just by using AI, throwing documents into AI and summarizing it and asking it questions, everything else.
Find me a win.
Each lawyer has now increased their potential of billable hours by $100,000 a year.
Yo, that's wild, man.
Right? I had a meeting with a lawyer 2 weeks ago. I was on the phone with him and I was asking him questions.
Mm.
And he was sharing his screen with me. And the law firm built an AI model, like an AI thing to punch all this stuff in. And like, I was firing off questions and he was just like typing. I was watching him type into this thing and the AI would spit it out and he'd scroll down and he's like, oh yeah, right here. This is what we're looking for. Da 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 da. Like, it's that fast.
You are worth now $2.4 billion.
Yes.
Well, couldn't you type that into like ChatGPT and save money yourself?
Well, no, but I don't know what to type though. That's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is I don't know the prompts. Like, they know the prompts and they built their own. Like, it's all their own. Like, they input all the stuff into AI. Like, these law firms are building their own models. Mm. They're not just using ChatGPT. It's a version of it, but they're the ones who are building the database. I'm sure that call would have cost me, I don't know,
Go ahead.
Did I save money on that call? Maybe.
Did you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you make money on that call?
I did not make money on that call.
Yeah. Could you buy a small car with that fee?
With what? What I paid the lawyer?
Yeah.
No, you pay lawyers. Depending on the lawyer, you're going to pay $250 to $500 an hour.
Yeah. Sometimes even for an email.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. They'll bill you for paper clips, yeah, right? Like every office supplies. Like you go through the itemized list.
Can you bring your own paper clips?
It's crazy. No. They don't let you do that. They don't want your stupid paper clips, Maury.
Maybe when my sister becomes a lawyer, she can pay me to input stuff in
the
system.
Yes. But that's it. $100,000 per lawyer per year is how much AI is going to make for them.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mark Carney is set to ask the Governor General to dissolve Parliament, to
carbon
call an
tax,
election.
Carney.
I'll get to the new nickname in a second for you, Mocha, because I know you've been dying because he doesn't have a new nickname yet.
He's just like Justin.
Apparently, if an election was called today, the Liberals, they say, would be poised to defeat Pierre Poilievre's Conservatives. So you need 172 seats to get a majority and an aggregated poll. So they just took sort of all the polls that are out
agitated?
There.
Is that what you said?
Aggregated.
Oh.
Probably are agitated.
Have the list.
I am. We got to go to vote again now in April?
I know.
I just voted.
I know.
176 with the Conservatives at 133, but the game plan for the Liberals is really crazy because, you know, Poilievre has just been like, he's the axe attacks guy, right?
Yeah.
Axe attacks. And for 10 years...
I'll give you a break, first time home buyers.
For 10 years, the Liberals were like, no, you know, it's people get more money back, and they just fought against it. And then Mark Carney shows up, and then he's like, I'm going to axe the tax. And then they went on this huge campaign being like, he axed the tax, right? And I'm like, yeah, but it was your thing, man. So, and then Pierre Poilievre last year was like, yo, here's my plan, right? I want no GST on houses that people are buying if they're under $1 million. No GST.
Great plan.
Right? And then yesterday, Mark Carney came out. I was like, yo, guess what? Here's my plan. No GST on houses under $1 million, right? So they're building their whole platform, the Liberals, on everything
that PC was doing?
Everything that they were trying to campaign on. So they don't really have much left. So here's the new nickname, which I read today for the first time.
Hit me.
Carbon Copy Carney.
Yo, amazing. That's great.
Oh, wow.
Carbon Copy Carney. So that's like Justin.
So no, he's just like Pierre.
He's just like Pierre.
I want to be in the room when they make these nicknames.
That's
amazing.
Just like Pierre.
Pierre Poilievre. He hates Mark Carney.
I have an election question.
Yes.
Do you vote for that person or some sort of local thing?
You do a local thing.
I just voted for the local thing.
I know. No,
it's
no,
always
no.
a local no, thing.
You don't you don't vote for the prime minister. You vote for the party.
So who did I just vote for now?
That was a provincial election that you just voted in. This is a federal election.
But is it not the same people?
Oh, it's not going to be the same
person. No, it's not.
Honestly, I just get my card from my dad and I go.
And your dad? Okay. Does your dad tell you who to vote for?
No. Uh-huh. I do a little bit of research, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, you guys help me with my research a lot of the time. Anyway, I'm learning as we're here.
You got Pierre and you got Carbon Copy Carney.
So I don't get to put an X next to...
No, you don't get to write Carbon Copy next to Mark Carney's name unless he's in your riding. He might be in your... I don't know. I think he's running out west.
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
To come up with a nickname for whoever's riding in my
of course you could
neighborhood.
Of course you could.
But can I write that on the ballot?
It would spoil it.
The ballot would be invalid.
Well, no, that's not true. You could write it above and still put your X in the circle.
Doesn't that mess with because they put it in a machine.
As long as you don't mess with the circle.
Yeah, I think it's, I think as long as the X is there. Anyway.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, Tesla, they've now recalled almost all of their Cybertrucks, 46,000 Cybertrucks.
Why?
Because their parts of the car are glued on. And so I'm going to play this clip from a guy who did a YouTube video and then popped it up on TikTok where he was testing the durability of a Cybertruck next to an F-150. And they did what they call a riot test, which they just start throwing things at the car, breaking the glass, trying to. And then he took a pickaxe to it and he discovered that the trim on the car started to come off. Here's the clip.
How long does it take to get through a Cybertruck with a pickaxe compared to the aluminum F-150? I'm guessing one hit. This thing here started to peel up, and I think it might all just come off.
Oh my God.
That is not acceptable, dude. You just glued your truck together. That's not okay. Three fingers. That is not okay.
So Tesla's,
they didn't even use Gorilla Glue? That
Tesla,
sounds indestructible.
The problem that they have is that in the southern states, the cars are okay. But when that glue gets cold, it just pops right off. So they are recalling 46,000 Cybertrucks due to the faulty exterior panels just being glued on.
Maria.
Which is nuts.
I just want to know, do you guys actually like what they look like?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. No. There's a pink one in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, I always see driving around an Aurora. It's pink.
Yeah, my brother really likes them.
Does he?
Yeah. They look like spaceships.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
I got to play this clip of Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco on Hot Ones. I love Hot Ones. And we haven't had a really, really good Hot Ones in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'll play this one clip. It's very normal because they haven't really started eating the hot stuff yet.
Okay.
Right? This is Selena Gomez asking if she, Martin Short and
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin have had any sort of influence on her.
I sit there and read the news with them every day, and they eat the same thing every day, and now I eat the same thing every day.
Oh my God.
A tuna sandwich with Dijon mustard, or all I eat is a chicken salad sandwich. For some reason, I'm excited to get my meal next to theirs.
Old
with
man
tuna
tendencies
with mustard?
Right? Yeah, tuna with Dijon. People do that. But now I got to play this clip, which is they get really deep into. So she starts freaking out over the hot sauce almost immediately.
Okay.
Benny Blanco, not bothered by it. So she's dying, right? And then Benny Blanco's just carrying on. But then they get to one hot sauce that just kills them both. But I thought we were going to lose Selena Gomez.
No.
So this right here is a bucket of questions. It could be. It's multi-purpose.
She's dying right now. Listen
to her talk. If you guys take that. Wow. So here's how this works. Is if you reach in there, you pull out a question, and it's a question that you'll ask to Benny, and then you'll pass the bucket, and then Benny, you'll pull a question, ask to Selena.
I hate you so much.
I know. I get it.
Oh,
I get it.
No.
I understand,
listen,
too.
Oh, no.
It's like
which of my songs, not including the ones we've made together, is your all-time favorite?
My brain is just going, it just keeps going.
Oh, you answer the damn question. I'll answer it.
Oh, no.
Good for you.
So now she's up walking around.
It's like it doesn't go away. No.
I have to stand up.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a lap. Take a lap.
Oh, no. Poor girl.
Why do people do this?
Yo, you could like damage. You could damage your whole inside.
The way she asked that question, dying. Anyway, the whole episode is real great. It's Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Snow White bombed at the box office. I mean, it was still number one, but they paid $250 million for this movie, not including promotion. And it did 43 mil in the U.S. Eesh.
What a fail.
Eesh. Yeah. This movie had so many problems. So first of all, they think they were making this thing for like 6 or 7 years. It was crazy. It was supposed to be a way long ago. And then you had all the controversy with the star of the movie and Gal Gadot and them going off on how terrible the original was, which pisses off Disney fans because everybody sort of knows, Snow White was problematic, but you can't like trash it. And that's, she built her identity in this new movie around trashing the original, and that pissed people off. And so I don't know what you do here, but this thing made less than opening weekend. Remember when Tim Burton released Dumbo? Remember that movie?
Oh my gosh,
right?
I completely forgot about
this
that.
This did worse
Danny
than
DeVito
that.
This
did worse than that. And Dumbo was historically bad for Disney, like historically bad.
And that was, that was also a Disney movie. Yeah.
But I guess the next live action remake is the new Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. So that's the next one. People seem to be pumped about that one.
Yeah, dude.
I know, but not good for Snow White.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Do you know who Lenny Dykstra is?
Mm-mm.
So Lenny Dykstra, famous ball player, center fielder for the Mets and the Phillies back in the 80s and 90s. He led the league in walks for a bunch of years. And then when he left baseball, he got into the business world. And he was like a stock guy, and like the business world loved him, and he was like really, really good at it.
He was smart,
but then like all this stuff came out about all these crimes he had done, and he wound up losing everything in like 2009. So it was like financial crimes, grand theft auto, identity theft, vandalism, lewd behavior. So he was sent to prison. But I saw this interview, and I don't even know when this is from. But like, you don't get people in sports like this anymore. So keep in mind, this was back in the 80s and 90s. And when he led the league in walks, it wasn't because pitchers had a hard time pitching to him. It was because he spent a small fortune on digging up dirt about the umpires in Major League Baseball.
No.
Listen to this clip from this interview.
Stories. You used to keep a book on umpires. You were very smart that way.
Well, a little more of that.
What'd you do?
I said, I need these umpires. So what do? I just pull $500,000 out and I hired a private investigation team.
Oh, my God.
Paul. Their blood's just as red as ours. Some of them like women. Some of them like men. Some of them gamble. Some of them do whatever.
You had PIs tracking umpires through your career or just a few years?
No, like when after I got the money, you know, when I was trying to get the money. It wasn't a coincidence you think that I led the league in walks the next few years, was it?
So you really think...
I don't think, I know.
Did you bribe him?
No, his fear does a lot to a man.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, so did you cover last night? He called it a strike. Oh, I don't think you heard me. Did you cover the spread last night?
Strike zones.
Have you told anybody else's?
You're the first one, man. And one of my book.
Oh my. That's pretty good.
It gets better.
But basically, you're saying you had a dossier on umpires, and you found, you know, if they were cheating around on their wife or doing something like that?
Hey, look, I had to do what I had to do to win and to support my family.
Yo, that's some gangster stuff
Bro.
Right there.
Wow.
Walk up to the plate, and he wouldn't even do it, like, before the game, like, nothing. Like, he would do it at the plate. Right?
Wait, are we clapping?
Like, what?
Gangster. He hustled.
That's how
gangster.
You win.
Yeah.
Wow. Gangster. Right?
Damn.
Can they do an investigation now? Like,
yeah, I mean, he already went to jail for a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know what they're going to get on him now.
Yeah.
Right?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Got to do this quickly. George Foreman passed away. Big George. 76 years old. Oldest man to become the heavyweight champion. Ali fights. Champion when he was young. Champion when he was old. George Foreman grill. You want to hear Foreman talk about how successful the George Foreman grill was?
Hi, I'm George Foreman, and this is my lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine.
I'd really gotten popular on Madison Avenue. We'd done Doritos, McDonald's, and Meineke. Every commercial there was, we made a lot of money. People would pay you a lot of money to do a commercial. But then after a period of time, they move on to someone else. And finally, a friend of mine said, George, you're making all these other companies wealthy. Why don't you get your own product? And we looked around and found the grill. No one wanted to be bothered with it at all. They had names for it, jokes for it. But I took it and they said, try that. And I didn't want to use it, but my wife insisted. She said, it works, George. And the grease really rolled off and it's still tender. I ate it. I said, boy, let's do it. But I never expected it to be so successful. And then all of a sudden, the checks just started rolling in. This thing sold over 100 million.
You end up being bought out for something like $140 million. At one point, checks were coming in for upwards of like $4 million monthly.
$5
million. Wow.
$5 million a month, right? George Foreman, 10 kids that we know of. He had 5 girls and 5 boys. And this is one of my greatest pieces of info of any human, let alone a boxer. But George Foreman, 5 daughters, 5 sons, named all his sons George.
Amazing.
All of them. All that's 5 of them.
That's so funny.
All 5 of them. Named
George. Or like George 1, George 2.
George. And then they all sort of adopted other like sort of ways to differentiate between them. But all 5 of his sons named George Foreman.
R.I.P. George Foreman.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Raptors lose to San Antonio 123-89 last night for their 4th straight loss.
Terrible.
Devin Vassell led with 25 points. Jeez.
That's a wrap, right?
That's a wrap.
Big celebrities in the audience.
Were you there last night?
I was. It was Pride Night. I was there with my dad, and it was my brother Kyle's first ever Raptors game.
Really? Who was there?
There was Mary J. Blige.
Oh.
Kelly Rowland.
Oh.
Mario.
Yeah. Did you get drunk? You look like you got drunk last night.
Oh, my God. I had so much wine.
Like
wine.
How much? One glass, I bet.
2 full glasses.
Full. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Full. Over the line.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
What'd your pops have? What did Frank have?
He had a beer and two sips of my wine.
Yeah. Are you still drunk right now? Because you look like you're still drunk right now.
I think I might be.
That's awesome.
I know Kelly Rowland is in town. And she's filming a movie with
Method Man.
Method Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm interested.
Yo, we got to get Method on the show.
I'm interested.
See what you can do, right?
I absolutely have.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Tiger Woods confirmed his relationship with Vanessa Trump over the weekend.
Which Trump is she again?
She's Don Jr.'s ex.
Oh, no.
So she was with Don Jr. from 2005 to 2018. And Tiger wrote, "Love is in the air and life is better with you by my side. We look forward to our journey through life together. At this time, we would appreciate privacy to all those close to our hearts."
Yeah, okay.
As if.
Put it in reverse, Tiger.
But also that they have the Don Jr. And Vanessa. They're the ones that have the daughter that golfs, right?
Yeah.
Could you imagine your ma, like you're super into golf, like you got aspirations for golfing, and then your ma's new boyfriend is Tiger Woods?
One of the greatest of all time.
Bro. It'd be great. It'd be great.
Free lessons.
Yes. I'd be like, "Mom, treat him right."
Yeah, fact.
You know what I mean? I would scrutinize the hell out of the relationship.
Don Jr. would be like, "Yo."
Yeah. I know.
Must be pissed.
I know, but also being tied forever to Don Jr., though.
I know.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
They'll break up by the end of the year.
Because they all get along, too. Like, all the exes and everything. It's really weird in that family. But, like, I couldn't do.
Or is it just for the cameras?
I couldn't do Thanksgiving with Don Jr.
Yeah, no.
Right?
All that grease in his hair?
Oh, I couldn't do it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I've been watching a ton of clips from that Alec Baldwin, Hilaria Baldwin show, The Baldwins.
Okay.
Over on TLC. Ever since she like snapped at him on the red carpet and then they did that weird apology and everything else.
She snapped at him again.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know whether it's Alec Baldwin, like he's just at that age of where he doesn't care, or doing a reality show is not the thing that I ever thought that he would do. But they have some real wild conversations. So remember when Hilaria Baldwin got busted because she would go on TV shows and do cooking segments when she was trying to build her brand and she would come off like she was Spanish, right? Like a Latina. And she would always say, like, she'd be doing a cooking segment and be like, so, and then you take the, how you say, right? Remember she was doing all that? And then it came out, she's from Boston.
Yeah.
Right? And like, she's not Spanish at all. And it was just like an act that she did pretending to, like, English was
her
second language.
You really talk like
Matt Damon. Right? Yeah. Yeah. But like, she did this whole thing of where English was a second language. It was the weirdest thing. Anyway, here's a clip of them talking about their prenup on the show.
Go ahead.
So, yes, I agree that that's your reality of it. But what I used to do is I would say yes, and then I would do whatever I wanted, and I would just keep it from you.
You gaslight me.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
After my first marriage, I said, "Let's have a prenup."
I want to think about it. No. First of all, I still don't understand quite what a prenup is. It is awkward. But I don't actually quite understand what a prenup is, because you're like, after a certain number of kids, it's this. And after, and I was like, you know what? I'll just sign it, which was probably very stupid of me back then.
Oh my God.
Now I'll read it again. But like, I just said I will sign it. I don't really want to think about the end by the beginning. And then you're like, yeah, I don't want to do it either.
Let's talk slower. You're speaking English in a Spanish cadence, which is always perilous for me. Slow down just a kiss. I can't understand you.
Oh my goodness. These two.
So then they get into Hilaria's, when Alec met Hilaria's ex-boyfriend.
How does that even happen?
Well, here you go.
I've seen one of the loves of her life naked.
Not the love of her life.
He was one of the loves of her life. He was a very important boyfriend of hers. I mean, we'd go see him on Broadway, and he was naked. And his whole, as our British friends, he had his bits out. We went to go see Take Me Out, the musical that our dear friend Scott Ellis directed, and all these baseball players were in the locker room, and they were all turned around naked with their dongs hanging out. And he's there, her boyfriend, and I recognize him. I met him before. And when he turns around with his personality hanging out, I'm like, oh, okay. He had like a clarinet hanging from his pants.
Oh, buddy.
The guy literally turns around, and we were all like, whoa.
How can you remember this more than I do?
And when you meet him backstage, we go out into the lobby, we meet them all. And her boyfriend comes in, I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?"
And I was like, "I'm going to stay over here."
And you can't pay attention to a word he's saying. He's standing right here talking to me. I'm sitting, look, I'm going. And he's looking at me going, "Yeah, you know, the show and this and that." And this. I'm like, you have like a baseball bat that you stuff into your pants every day. How does that work for you? Oh, let's move on from that subject.
Was it on my list of
I felt it had to be told. It had to be told.
Wow.
So, wow. Right. Wow.
So on last night's episode, Alec Baldwin's daughter from his Kim Basinger relationship, Ireland, was on the show. And it's interesting because Ireland has a kid, a daughter, who is 9 months different in age than Alec's daughter is with Hilaria.
So his
daughter and his granddaughter are separated by 9 months in age. Do you remember I told you a story about Alec Baldwin yelling in the other room when I was in the hotel room with him and I heard him? Do you remember the voicemail, the very famous voicemail when that Alec Baldwin left for his own daughter? Do you remember
vaguely.
That?
Vaguely. I know he said some terrible things,
You
right?
have no idea, Maria, about this.
No.
This was back, but like the internet was still new at this point, and leaked audio was like a crazy thing, right? But so he left. I'm going to play this for you because this is years ago, like I don't even know, like 25 years ago or something like that. And this was a video that he left for, and I think she was like a young teenager at the time.
I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like. And you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again.
Damn.
And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother. And you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane and I'm going to come out there for the day. And I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me?
That's his kid.
I'm going to really make sure you get it.
That's his daughter.
Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are.
Oh, my God.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
To replay this message.
There was no interaction, by the way, on the show last night between Alec and Ireland.
At all.
So I don't know if there's still... There's still heat, but
I would have texted him back and be like, yo, Friday, the 20th? Oh, I'm busy. Can we reschedule?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Looks like we are heading to the polls. April 28th is going to be election day in Canada.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yes, you can.
Why they call it a snap election?
Because it's not normally when the election would happen, right? That would be like October is when it was sort of scheduled to happen. So they call it a snap election, and we have like, it's a month of campaigning. It's quick, right? So
I don't think you should call it a snap election. A snap election would be like if Carbon Tax Carney was on Friday being like, yo, election?
Yeah.
Monday.
Well, I mean...
You all are voting on Monday.
Yeah.
That's a snap election.
Okay. Well, this is still very close. A month is not a lot of time.
You call this one quick election.
Okay. So we're headed for a quick election.
Perfect.
April 28th. Mark Carney released a video. Did you see the video that he did with Mike Myers? I guess they flew Mike Myers back up from his giant mansion in Hollywood.
So like Edmonton or something?
I don't know where they did Ottawa. It. But they did like a you know you're a Canadian win ad.
Mr. Prime Minister, Mike Myers, what are you doing here? I just thought I'd come up and check on things.
You live in the States.
Yeah, but I'll always be Canadian.
But you live in the States.
Yeah, so? Do you remember Mr. Dress-Up, the children's show on CBC? What were the names of Mr. Dress-Up's two puppet friends? Casey and Finnegan?
Bud the
Spud?
Howie?
Meeker?
Capital Saskatchewan?
Regina?
Tragically?
Pip?
You're a defenseman, defending a two-on-one. What do you do?
Take away the pass, obviously.
What are the two seasons in Toronto?
Winter and construction.
Wow. You really are Canadian.
Yeah. But let me ask you, Mr. Prime Minister, will there always be a Canada?
There will always be a Canada.
All right. Elbows out.
Elbows up.
I mean, obviously with those references, they are going for a much older demographic with that.
I would have failed half that.
Two gray-haired guys standing there. Both rich. They're going after the older. The Casey and Finnegan, the Mr. Dre- like, that is not a reference for the young.
Yeah.
That is a reference.
I would have failed.
Failed, right?
Everything.
That is a reference for the old. So you sort of know where they're going. Everybody hitting the mics yesterday, doing press conferences on press conferences. Pierre Poilievre had this to say.
You ask about the concerns of people on the street. What I hear from people on the street is they are concerned that after the lost Liberal decade, they can't afford homes. They're eating at food banks or cutting back on nutrition. They're worried about crime, chaos, drugs, and disorder. And they're worried that that Canada and our economy is now more dependent than ever on the Americans after the Liberals blocked pipelines, stopped resource development, and gave America our resources at a discount. And what I say to those people is that change is on the way. We're going to put Canada first.
There you go.
Cool.
Snap election.
Snap.
Yeah, snap.
That's what they should do.
Yeah, they should. What kind of election is it?
Snap.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Elizabeth Olsen has said that she will not return as Scarlet Witch in Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars.
Spoiler alert, didn't she die?
No, I mean, everybody's coming back, right? Like, yeah, they're all coming back in one way, shape, or form. She said, I didn't realize this until about 6 years ago because Marvel and its influence takes up so much physical time and space in the world. It's really important for me to make choices outside of Marvel that reflect my own taste. I'm moving on to filming a pilot for FX called Seven Sisters, is what she said. Okay. So
I loved her in the last Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I just think all those people, that's so many years of your life, right?
No, I know, that, it really, like, is, yeah.
If you want to do something else, and they don't shoot it in America, like, that's the other thing too. So you're like packing up your family and you're, you know,
moving to Wakanda for like 10 years,
moving to the UK or Wakanda or wherever they go for. Yeah, it's tough. So no Elizabeth Olsen, she's sort of done with Marvel.
Aww.
is what
I like
she
her
says.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Where are we here? Oh, I got to play this clip of Benny Blanco. It's kind of sweet. As we know, he and Selena Gomez, newly engaged, they've been doing a ton of stuff together. Like, they're the couple now that does, like, the showbiz couple that does everything together. Mm-hmm. They always start off like that. Then they'll sort of separate and go and do their own thing. But right now, they're doing everything together.
It's very on brand.
All the conversations are about them being a couple, everything else. This is Benny on why he wanted to work musically with Selena.
It was the most fun I ever had. And I just, like, wanted a piece of music to be able to, I don't know, one day, like, show our kids and be like, look at this. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this thing mommy and daddy made.
That's pretty amazing.
And it was like, I can't believe it. Like, it's so cool to me.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens with it. I was just, like, so excited to do this with the person I love and freeze a moment in time in a way that not a lot of people have the ability to do. And, like, we were lucky enough to do that.
That's nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Like,
talk to kids already, everything else.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Has your dad or a parent ever embarrassed you by talking about, like, how great you are in front of other people?
No.
No offense, Maury. You know what I mean? You know, when you do something,
I'm afraid to be having those conversations.
You know, like, they think that you're cool or whatever, and they're like telling a story and you overhear, or, you know, they take something a little too seriously that you did. This may be my favorite clip of all time. This is Donald Trump, right? Talking about his son Barron. For everything we know, Barron's going to NYU, smart kid.
How old is he now? 19?
I think he's like 19, 18, 19.
Celebrated his birthday, right?
Yeah.
Recently?
Smart kid, right? Seems tall. To have it all together, super tall, doesn't seem to be, like, you know, a dick, right?
Not yet,
at least not yet.
Mm. Wait till he starts drinking.
So Trump's doing an interview and they're talking about Barron, and Trump is just like, he is just bigging this kid up so much, right? Like, you would not believe what this kid is capable of doing. And this is the example he gives.
So is Barron's aptitude, in your view, business or politics?
Maybe technology. He can look at a computer. I try turning off his car. I turn it off. I turn off his laptop. I said, oh, good. And I go back 5 minutes later. He's got his laptop. I said, how'd you do that? None of your business, Dad. No, he's got an unbelievable aptitude in technology.
Like he took it out of sleep mode or he turned the power back on?
Turned the power back on.
Maybe because Trump's old. He doesn't know how to do those things. So
he is the president of the United States. He should know how to turn
I bet you there's people who are turning on and on his computer for him as a president.
But you should not be amazed when somebody's able to turn a computer on is the problem.
I know. I turn it off, I come back 5 minutes later, it's on.
It's on.
How'd you do that, kid?
Never mind, Dad. Okay.
You got a job with Elon Musk now.
Right? An incredible aptitude. Incredible aptitude. Yeah. Oh, I'd be like, yo, Dad,
chill.
Shut.
Yeah. Don't say nothing about me anymore.
You know nothing.
Maybe that guy's first day of class back, he's going to get a standing ovation in class for turning
every time.
He's going to get killed.
I would rip the speakers right out of my computer because if I was ever in class and somebody heard the zoom, zoom.
Yeah. King.
Oh,
that's
everybody.
It.
Oh, Baron. There's Baron.
There
classic
he is.
Baron. Yeah. Turn the computer on.
That computer aptitude there.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The Bachelor finale was last night, and they're calling this Grant Ellis guy the worst Bachelor ever.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Come the on. Worst?
The no, worst no, Bachelor no, no. ever.
I didn't watch the show. Please don't spoil it. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so he wound up picking Juliana. Okay, and so I'll play you a little bit of the breakup from or the proposal to Juliana. So
and I just want you to know that I love you, and you would make me the luckiest so girl in the world if I could spend the rest of my life with you because that's what I want so badly.
Aww. And when you're going through the toughest times in your life, I want you to know that you don't have to go through it alone. That I'll be there for you,
yes,
as your man, as your friend,
yes,
as your partner.
Juliana?
Yeah. Will you marry me?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so why they're calling him the worst bachelor ever is the other girl in the final two was Latia. Mm-hmm. And why they're hating on him is because he gave, like, throughout the course of the show, right? He gave Latia a journal for them to read after they were engaged. He told her on week two that he would quit the show right then and there for her. He also told her mother that he was going to marry her.
You trifle.
And then so SLB. This is what happened between Grant and Latia.
This is hard for me. Latia, I love you.
Oh, no.
Very much.
Oh, you don't, bro.
And I want to give you everything that you deserve.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but.
But I'm not your person.
You can't.
But what about the journal?
And I'm sorry to have gotten to this point. My emotional connection is stronger sometimes.
Yo, dog.
When did it change?
Uh-huh. It didn't change. I do love you. And
you don't, bro.
No.
I don't want you to feel like I haven't been open. I haven't been honest because I have been. And I'm truly sorry. And I hope you don't view me any differently. And I hope that I...
Uh-huh. Well, I do, for sure.
Yeah.
Go on now.
Yo, go on, man.
Bruh, he's not even close to being one of the worst, though.
You don't think so?
What? Juan Pablo was nuts.
Yeah, but
Juan
he was
Pablo?
Great, though.
Oh, no,
he
great entertainment. Great entertainment. You had a bachelor propose to somebody.
But at what point did he know that
well,
he was going to...
the whole thing.
That he
right?
was going to propose to the next gal, right?
Yeah.
Because at that point, you pull a Tia aside and then say those things.
And they really sort of try and prevent them, steer them away from doing those things, like, you know, telling her on week two that he would leave
yes.
for her and telling the mom that he would marry her. Like, they really avoid those.
Totally.
Right?
You also can't be telling a girl that you love her and then go propose to another girl.
Well, yeah.
You can't be telling multiple people that you're in love.
That's sort of the Bachelor.
Yeah, I know. But, like, he could have said it, but the day, like, if you say it up until the engagement day. You don't on the engagement day tell someone else you love them and then throw them to the curb.
Yeah.
I need to know. Did Latia, what was Latia's reaction?
Okay.
She was great, by the way. She was classy.
Yeah, she was. You want to hear the clip of her in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
How disappointing.
felt like he loved me and he picked someone else that he loved more. I hope that I could find someone that will love me like that forever. Not today, though. Yeah, it definitely hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, motoring on.
But the whole time she was struggling to put her seatbelt on.
But people are going in.
Why are you making fun
of
her, man? I don't know. She's still bad. Yeah.
People are going in on Grant Thallis, the Bachelor, on the online though. They hated this guy.
I've been hearing that though from like the beginning of the series this year that a lot of people didn't like him. So
yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. I guess Joe Rogan is not coming to UFC 315 in Montreal. He says that
he hates Canada.
The Canadian people are awesome, but they have a terrible government. He said, I won't go there. I don't go to Canada anymore. I'd rather go to Russia.
Okay.
Oof. Fine.
Fine, Joe.
Okay. Cool. I guess. Like, I don't. I don't know. Are people boycotting? I guess they are. Not this way though. I don't think. I think that Canadians are boycotting going to the States, but I don't think anybody from the States is coming up to Canada is boycotting at all. Nobody cares.
He's the only one.
Yeah. I feel weird because I kind of wanted to go to the States soon, and then I'm like, man, like. Is it taboo? Yeah. Like
no, I mean, if you're going to like visit someone or going to see people,
it would not be that.
It would be for what?
It would just be
like to shop,
like just to go and hang out. Yeah.
Would you wear like a I'm from Canada shirt?
No,
like,
no.
Would you identify?
But I wouldn't before this. No.
So what are you going there for?
Just to go, like go have a weekend or something.
Oh,
I would.
Right?
Do you go together?
No, I don't want to go together.
Road trip?
Why not? No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go on traveling with you.
Why not?
Why would I? That's not fun for me.
I'd be an awesome travel partner.
Yeah.
We could do that road trip.
No, Maria. No. There's no we. Oh. We're not doing this right now. The whole thing. Okay. I'm not getting into this at all.
I'll drive.
Okay. I was just talking about something I was going to do, maybe alone or with my family.
Okay. Jeez. Someone is in a mood.
You guys weaseling your way into plans. Okay.
Listen,
it's not happening.
I don't need to weasel my way into anything. If I want to go to the States, I will.
Then go.
I will.
Okay, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know anything about it. And then that way you're out of my life.
I'm going to send you voice notes.
I can make my own plans then. Okay, that's one down.
Wow. Damn, man, that's cold.
I'm going to cry. The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast. Oh, my God. This Trump organization, everybody he's got with him, man, they're so, so bad at
what
so many
now?
Things. So let me read you this headline. This headline is from a publication called The Atlantic.
Okay.
The headline was this: the Trump administration accidentally sent me its war plans.
What?
So there was a group chat.
Accidentally?
There was a group chat, okay, on a platform called Signal, which is secure. A lot of government people use Signal, but there's certain things you don't discuss. But within that group chat was Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Jeffrey Goldberg is the editor of The Atlantic, the reporter.
Yeah.
He was invited to that group chat by Mike Waltz, who is Trump's national security advisor, for whatever reason. Could have been an accident while they were putting the group chat together.
Definitely.
Okay. And Goldberg says that the messages that he was just observing them talking back and forth contained operational details of forthcoming strikes on Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen, including information about targets, weapons the U.S. would be deploying, and attack sequencing.
Oh, my God.
So they had a war group chat going and accidentally invited a reporter who just sat there and said nothing.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say anything either. Keep talking, fellas.
Bro, I mean,
I would just be replying and be like, yo, guys, and then what? Yo, what's next?
And go on.
What?
Yeah. Go on.
Keep going. Explain. I didn't understand the last one. Explain it to me.
I just don't know how that happens.
Also, how could you let it leak what the name of your group chat is?
I don't know.
Like the platform. Like that should be confidential.
The Signal is a platform.
Oh.
It's called Signal.
Got it.
It's called Signal. And I guess people use it. I don't know, man. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Will Smith got a new album coming out. I think it's Friday, and he's doing his first ever headlining tour this summer. Uh-huh. Like, Will Smith is back musically. I want to play you two clips here. This is Will Smith, one, talking about his 10-year ban from the Academy Awards.
With the ban and everything, are you looking to appeal, or are you just looking just to ride everything out and just continue to do you?
I am looking to be the best human I can possibly be. And I'm going to take what I get with that.
Okay.
Right? Not much of an answer. Mm. Now, the next question is the interesting one that has people talking. They asked Will Smith who is on his Mount Rushmore of actors.
Oh, okay? Great question.
They asked Will Smith who is on his Mount Rushmore of actors. You want me to play you the clip and then we can come back and discuss?
Yes.
Okay, listen to this.
Now I got to know your Mount Rushmore actors.
I got to.
Like, you can put yourself on there.
Damn.
If that's how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely how I'm feeling, but okay, I don't feel like I should say that, like, publicly.
Say whatever you got to say.
You know. All right, Mount Rushmore of actors.
Yeah.
I would start with Marlon Brando.
Okay.
Like, Marlon Brando, if I'm going old school. I'm trying to look at the whole
spectrum.
The whole spectrum. So three of them, you know, and it's really, I'm not really saying this to be arrogant. I do think I'm like one of the most prolific actors of our time.
You 100%
yeah.
should feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell? Of course.
So Marlon Brando, me and Denzel.
Okay.
Oh, and I know who my fourth is, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I knew he was going to say Denzel.
Marlon Brando, Denzel Washington, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Will Smith is Will Smith's Mount Rushmore of actors.
Tom Cruise,
yeah, there are about three people on there that are right, and one is not. One being him.
One being him.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Will Smith has an incredible career. Will Smith can do comedy, right? He's done great comedies. He can do action, and he can do drama, and he's great, mm-hmm. and he's great when he does drama. But... Like
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Let's just stick with the guys because I think that they were going to do a whole separate list for the women. But let's just stick with the guys. I was like, the art of acting, right? Somebody who made people feel every emotion that an actor could possibly make them feel, right?
I know.
The only other, like the first name that stuck up, and maybe it's not a popular name, but the first one I went to, I'm not going to argue with Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm not going to argue with Denzel Washington. But if you're doing a Mount Rushmore of the art of acting and do not put Robin Williams on that list.
Oh, yeah, true. I thought you were going to say
no,
Tom.
No, Robin, I agree with Robin.
I thought you were going to say Tom Hanks.
Robin Williams can do crushingly beautiful. He was one of the most hysterical actors of all time.
That's a great pick.
Right? Yeah. He could do drama. He could do like Robin, like Robin the Williams. Art so of acting. Like, I don't know how you don't put Robin Williams on that list. Like, who is above Robin Williams aside from Daniel Day-Lewis and Denzel Washington that world?
Will Smith. You asked for an answer.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The numbers are finally in for Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show.
What's the name of that?
And apparently, no. It was the most watched Super Bowl halftime show ever.
And the most boring.
But the numbers that took a while to filter in were how many complaints the FCC got about the Super Bowl halftime show.
Really? I bet a lot.
According to TMZ, it was 125 complaints. Mm-hmm. Most of which were being made about inappropriate lyrics, raunchy dance moves, apparent anti-American themes when he split the flag in half, all this stuff. And then there were some hardcore Drake fans in there that would just use the complaint to stand up for Drake. TMZ obtained all 125 complaints, and the overwhelming majority of them felt that the performance was far from family friendly. That was their thing with the crotch grabs.
Yeah, how dare you?
And the some of the dance moves people had a problem with. Mm-hmm. There were at least 10 complaints specifically pissed about Kendrick using that platform to go after Drake.
Facts, 100%.
With people calling it.
Anyone complain about them pants he was wearing?
He used the moment to focus on a personal vendetta.
The Celine's?
125 seems low, no? For that many people that watch it?
That's like official complaints, though. Like, not a lot of things get 125 official FCC complaints, right?
Not like tweets and stuff like that.
These aren't tweets.
I get you.
Haven't taken into account the tweets yet?
Like, you have to put your full government, like, you have to do everything in order to submit this stuff for the FCC, right? In order for it to be an official complaint. Anyway, there you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jonathan Pooley, he is the TTC driver. Mocha introduced me to this guy a little while ago. He's a bus driver in Toronto, and when he doesn't have a bus full of people, he shoots these videos where he's on his bus singing.
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm at the bus stop, ready to leave.
He's got a good voice, man.
Oh, yeah. I got some real pretty, pretty bus riders that's waiting for me.
And he's on the bus in this clip.
Yeah, like, and there's no passengers.
Standing there. No. He's just standing there singing.
Anticipating free books.
He's good. Don't
yeah, he's great. Waiting. And so he was on Canada's Got Talent last night.
Oh.
And I thought it was a real decent performance. And he was nervous, though. But it was a great performance. So here's Jonathan on CGT.
Something's got a hold on me lately. No, I don't know myself anymore. It feels like the walls are all closing in and the devil's knocking at my door. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Out of my mind, how many times did I tell you I'm no
good at it? Not bad. But what did the judges think?
I'm going to give you a yes, and I know you're going to be better the next time.
So I agree with Howie. I'm going to be your second yes.
Cardi. Thank you so much, Cardi.
Nice.
I don't think you did a million-dollar performance.
Shania.
And I'm going to say no.
That's okay.
All right.
Shania. I do believe that you will bring more to the stage next time. I think you've got enough potential for me to give you a yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Nice. So
he needed three. He needed three.
Good for him.
Damn it, Maury, catching up with Jonathan Pooley.
Everyone got to see you on Canada's Got Talent last night. What was that experience like for you?
It was amazing just to even be standing in front of those judges and being a part of all the other talented individuals in Canada. It was a surreal experience, especially having my wife and my kid in the audience watching me. It's something I'll remember forever. It's great. So I was actually on Canadian Idol in 2007, and I did get to the top 60. I just couldn't handle the pressure at that time. I was young. But to be here, especially with these people that I respect so much and I've watched growing up, to know that they got a chance to see my talent, that they said, you know what, we believe in you, and to put me through. I didn't get the yes from Shania, which kind of broke my heart, but she was super... She's so compassionate, and, you know, she's a professional as well, too. So, obviously, there's some things I have to work on, but, you know, just getting that is... I've dreamt about it for so long. For it now to be a reality is it's really awesome.
Aw, right? Big up Jonathan.
So, he's coming. Do we know when he's back? Like, he goes back...
It's
like,
the audition process
at some point
now,
during
exactly.
it, he'll get another shot at it, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe get voted off.
I like, do is that know the, this.
What?
He's might be working on Pink Pony Club for one of his performances.
Oh!
I mean, you might. You just spoiled it, bro.
Yeah.
He might.
Not that I saw anything. I just suggested, and he's like, okay, I'll do it.
Okay. So wait a second. I know something. I like how you use that as a scoop. No, you suggested. That's not a scoop.
Isn't it?
No.
That's just you telling us.
If it was the other way, if he was like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm going to be doing Pink Pony Club. And then you were like, oh, that's a scoop.
But now if he does saying, it, you knew that it started here.
But that's not a scoop, though.
That
saying,
was a suggestion.
Hey, man, I got an idea. Guys, I have this secret part of this conversation that I didn't want to talk about. It's when I suggested that he do Pink Pony Club.
And then felt like a scoop.
Why has that a scoop? That's not a scoop.
That's a personal
That's
story.
Not a scoop.
Okay.
Anyway, I look forward to it. Good on you, Jonathan Pooley.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Lady Gaga was on Howard Stern and did a sort of pared down piano version of Abracadabra. Here's that.
Hold me in your heart tonight.
Singer.
Yeah.
She really is a gift from God.
I read a great comment the other day. I'm trying to remember how it went. They said Chapel Roan is Lady Gaga for people who Lady Gaga is their Madonna.
Wait, what?
What? So repeat.
Okay. So Chapel Roan is Lady Gaga for people who Lady Gaga is their Madonna.
So older gays.
So Madonna came out and then Lady Gaga came out. And all the Madonna fans were like,
OMG.
Yo, what's going on with this Lady Gaga? We already have a Madonna. Don't need one. And now people who their Madonna is actually Lady Gaga from that generation are now looking at Chapel Roan going, yo, what are you doing? We already have a Lady Gaga.
Oh, younger gays.
Younger gays.
Ah.
Yes, younger gays. That was great. She sounds great live, eh?
No, she's just like so good.
It's wild how good she is live.
Yep. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Explain to me, Mocha, what is happening with John Cena and Ric Flair, please.
Oh.
These are wrestlers, by the way, everybody.
Wait, by the way, like you got to explain who John Cena and the great.
Not everyone. Never mind.
Okay. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Yeah, the jet flying, snake shoe wearing,
woo!
Rolex watch wearing,
woo!
Son of a gun. Oh, kiss stealing, Ric Flair.
Thank you.
17-time champ, 17-time world champ.
Right.
So John Cena, who's for the past 25 years been a good guy in wrestling, is now a bad guy.
Oof,
and
hurts.
Is going to be facing Cody Rhodes, who's the current champion in WWE,
for
the title at WrestleMania.
Oh, that hurts.
In Vegas. And John Cena is currently a 16-time world champ. And as a bad guy, got on the mic the other night and said this.
I am going to ruin wrestling for every fan, for every wrestler, for everyone. At WrestleMania, I make history by winning a 17th championship. And I finally force you to forget the name of the fun machine jet flying woo Ric Flair.
Ooh.
You will forever say the name John Cena.
Okay, so that's what this is about. So would this Flair hold the record? Is that what that is?
Correct.
Some sort of record?
Yeah.
Okay, and so John Cena now wants to destroy Ric Flair's record and be the guy,
He wants to be the one. He's going to ruin wrestling because Ric Flair is just held in such high regard as one of the greats.
Well, TMZ caught up with Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. Here's what he had to say.
Ric, how are you feeling? What are your thoughts after you hear Cena say something like that?
Well, I'm just glad I'm alive. After the life I've led, to be here to hear it. So, but I got news for John. They've been trying to get rid of the Woo for 50 years. The Woo ain't going away, either is Ric Flair. And the odds of him winning the 17th world title are astronomical.
Oh, there you go.
You know Ric Flair going to be there front row for that main event match, right?
I was watching a video the other day of a guy who lives in Tampa, Florida, where he's like, honestly, you have no idea. He's like, you see Ric Flair everywhere. He's like, there's five popular restaurants in Tampa, Florida, and Ric Flair has his own stool at the bar at all of them. And he's there and he's there daily. He's like, I have friends come into town where we'll go out for dinner and then they'll look at me and go, oh my God, is that Ric Flair? And the guy goes, and they always go like, oh my God, that's Ric Flair. And he's like, yes, I know. He's here all the time. Okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, so
apparently people in Tampa who live there are just like, they are all Ric Flair all the time.
Love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, you have a quick little clip over there, Mocha. It's Gwyneth Paltrow talking about, so everybody thinks that the Gwyneth Paltrow Meghan Markle feud happened. So Meghan Markle did her show called With Love, Meghan, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was going in on it and people going in on Meghan being like, all you're doing is ripping off Gwyneth Paltrow. And then the other day, Gwyneth Paltrow released a video of herself just cooking breakfast in her kitchen. And everybody thought that it was massive shade towards Meghan Markle because she, like, it was a super pared down version of what, like, Meghan would do, but only they showed her oven on because in Meghan's show, the oven was never on.
Oh, right? Really?
And, and she has a dog. And then she held up her mug to the camera, and Gwyneth had written on the mug, like, a royal crest in, like, a Sharpie with, like, her, like, initials in it kind of thing.
Ooh.
Right? So yeah. Everybody was like, yo, this is super shade. Towards Meghan Markle. But then Gwyneth released a video where she was doing a Q&A with just fans on social media, and somebody asked if she was comprehending the Meghan Markle beef that social media says the two have. And so Gwyneth, you'll hear Gwyneth talk, and after she says something at the end, you're going to hear a little, huh? Right? And what it is Gwyneth looking at the camera, talking, and then she pans the camera to the side, and Meghan Markle is in Gwyneth Paltrow's kitchen eating pie.
I genuinely do not understand this at all whatsoever. Do you understand this?
So the two of them, okay. I mean, they're rich neighbors and everything else, so I guess this was their way of saying there's no beef.
Right.
Although when you watch that Gwyneth Paltrow video, it looked like it was, like, it looked vicious. Like, it was carefree and wonderful and so Gwyneth.
Or was it her way of putting Meghan Markle in her place?
Maybe that was
to be like, this is my lane.
Yeah.
So can we assume that Gwyneth will be in season two of the show?
I do not think Gwyneth Paltrow will show up in anywhere near Meghan Markle's fake kitchen.
Oof, damn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Ben Affleck in GQ talking about, really, he hasn't talked to like this about the breakup with J-Lo. Sort of this in depth. They get into the sort of main thing was what it was when they discussed it in her documentary, which was she has a very different version of how she likes to handle being ultra famous than he does. And I think that it was a clash between that. But he said that there's a tendency to look at a breakup and want to identify the root cause or something. But honestly, there's no scandal, no soap opera, no intrigue. The truth is, when you talk to somebody, hey, what happened? Well, there is no what. This is what happened. It's just a story about people trying to figure out their lives and relationships in ways that we all sort of normally do. So I guess they were just going in different directions.
Okay. And
again, which was that. Nikki Glaser was talking to one of Ben Affleck's exes, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh.
About J-Lo, and then Ben Affleck comes up because Nikki Glaser was talking about how when she was hosting the Golden Globes that there was a lot of people that she idolized in the audience that she didn't know how they would react to jokes about them kind of thing, right?
Sure.
And she's always sort of done this, even when she roasts people, right?
Yeah,
it's that kind of line. And they start talking about J-Lo off the top of this, and then it goes into Ben Affleck and Raya, the celebrity dating site.
Too cool.
Right.
Same way I thought about J-Lo. Like, I'm not doing that joke in a special because she's going to come after me. No, right. She, like, sends a joke back to me.
Right.
Like, I have to stop. I think that sometimes I underestimate people who I put on a pedestal of being, like, taking themselves too seriously.
Even though you wanted to f*** her boyfriend on Raya, or her husband.
Wait, which one was that?
Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, I definitely, when I used to be on Ryan, he would come across very concentrated check mark, yes, and like never getting it back. There are so many celebrities that I saw on Raya.
Celebrities on Raya.
Oh, my God. Wow. So many, like, there's like, I think Andrew Garfield's face came up for me so many times, multiple times.
That would have been a good one,
right?
He's gorgeous.
I'm sure he just didn't see my profile, even though I clicked on his a million, like, you know, they'll keep serving you up the same people, like, again and again for some reason. So every time I'm like, yes, Andrew Garfield, like, duh, you know, this is years and years ago. I don't want to put anything out there, but like, yes, yes, yes. And I know for a fact he had to have seen my profile and gone, nope. No, why do they keep, because sometimes they send people that you keep saying no to. So like, I would have matched with him if he was interested.
Now
so
he
I
regrets it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Other celebs who have been confirmed to have used Raya at some point, Channing Tatum, John Mayer, Ben Affleck, Lizzo, Cara Delevingne, Sharon Stone, Niall Horan, Demi Lovato, Drew Barrymore, Joe Jonas, Amy Schumer, Zac Efron. Yes.
Shem, waiting for you to say Martha Stewart.
Don't break my heart.
No, come on now.
She not on
no,
that?
No, she wouldn't be.
I think you get Sharon Stone.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I years ago, I had said this, and I wish we had the tape because it was when it first came out. 23andMe, which is the, you hork in like a tube and you send it off to them, right? And then they tell you, you know, your lineage and all your DNA and all this other stuff. And at the time, I remember we had a discussion on this show where I was like, I do not want to do it. And the reason I don't want to do it is because I don't know who's going to use that information and that eventually it's going to get out and people are going to start getting denied insurance policies because they're going to know what you're already predisposed to having. Health conditions. So 23andMe just filed for bankruptcy. At one point, they were valued at $6 billion, and they lost 98% of their value since going public in 2021. More than 15 million people have sent their hork to 23andMe, making it one of the largest genetic databases on the planet.
By the way, it's not a hork. It's like... It is a hork.
The Wall Street Journal reports that users trying to delete their accounts are now facing wait times and the website is crashing because they can't get on to delete it. Unlike medical records, 23andMe's data is not protected, meaning it could all be sold to the highest bidder with no guarantee of how it's used. Zero legal recourse.
Guys, I did 23andMe forever ago.
Experts warn that if an insurance company buys the data, they could very well screen for genetic risks and deny coverage. That's from the Wall Street Journal. I knew this would happen years ago. I knew this would happen.
I did a 23andMe, man.
I knew this was going to happen years ago.
Brown.
Congrats, man.
Here is California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
I'm the California Attorney General. I'm also a consumer. It's a decision that's best for me to delete today. The private sensitive data and information of 14 million consumers who have used 23andMe could get into the wrong hands.
So what do I got to do then? Delete my account?
You got to go sit online and try and wait for the website to not crash.
Can I call someone?
Nope. There's nobody there. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Quickly before we go, is it Brisbane?
I
don't know.
I think it's Brisbane.
Brisbane in Australia. So they're doing the 2032 Olympics in Brisbane, right? They got a while. They're still building everything and all this other stuff. But they got a couple problems, which is the rowing portion of the Olympic Games.
Why? They got water there, though.
They do have water.
They got enough water.
But where they're looking to have the rowers compete is in a strip of salt water in Brisbane. As beautiful as it is, it's also the home to crocodiles.
Oh, so they got to move all the crocs?
And I guess what they're trying to do is like move all the crocs. Here is crocodile expert John Levere.
Yeah, there are crocs there. There's no doubt about it. And there's been a few removed in the last few years. I caught my first croc in the Fitzroy in 1982, just shortly after we started here, and that had just eaten a farmer's dog, and he was a bit upset about that.
Oh, no.
And this is all within the recreational area of Rocky. So something needs to be done about ensuring that people can still recreate in that area.
Yeah, you can't have rowers rowing in water with crocodiles.
No. Crikey.
Like, I know things happen at Olympics, right? Mm. You know, the facilities, whatever, in Russia. Remember the toilets, right?
There was just in France, the water was really bad, too?
Yeah, everybody got listeria in France. Bad. Like, I get all that. We've not had crocodile water for rowers yet, right? Especially when you're in a boat that looks like a crocodile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Right?
Crocodile's like, yo, come at me, bro.
Yes.
Oh, you want a battle?
Yes. That ain't cool. So we'll see if they can get that cleaned up by 2032. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Ed Sheeran on with Jimmy Fallon. Talking about the name of his album. Ed Sheeran does this thing where it's all like... He has it all laid out ahead of time what these album names are. And so everybody starts speculating. So here is Ed Sheeran revealing for the first time what the name of the new album is.
Your fans are dying to know what the new album is called. You've been dropping hints and everyone's kind of guessing what the new album could be called. We can't wait for the album. Could you tell us officially what the album is called?
Yeah, it's called Play. It's called Play.
It is called Play. It's a great name. I love Play.
Thank you.
When I was like 18, I had an idea for like 10 albums, and it was plus, multiply, divide, subtract, equals, and then play, pause, rewind, fast forward, stop. So I've always had, I wanted to do 10. I'm kind of a bit obsessed with Tarantino, and I heard he was doing 10 films, and he's got his like side projects like Grindhouse and
he'll do that.
So I want to do my 10 and every now and then do a side project here and then. Yeah, but yeah.
That's so fun. Do you think you actually stop after stop?
Well, I kind of want to make an album for the whole of my life where you put like different songs on, and then it's in your will that it comes out the day you die, and it's called Eject.
That's brilliant. So brilliant. And you know he's not joking, right?
No. And then him and Jimmy, they do this thing where they go down in the subway. Have you seen these things that Jimmy Fallon does? Where they dress in disguise. And so he and Ed Sheeran dress up like emo artists, with black swoop wigs and toques and like black shirts. And they went down and they did Pink Pony Club. Wanted me to say, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in L.A. And I heard there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. It's Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Make my mama proud, it's gonna cause a scene. She sees a baby girl, I know she's gonna scream. I want you done. This is great.
Now, I didn't watch the video, but did anyone stop? And,
they're not fooling anybody.
Like, people know it's
of
like,
course
Ed Sheeran has such a
there's
a distinct
voice people
right?
around them.
Like, well, you not, know it's Ed Sheeran.
Okay, not only that, but they're buskers in a New York City subway that show up with television cameras.
Oh, yeah, true.
Right? like, they're not fooling anyone.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I
but,
love
God,
it.
Ed Sheeran sounds so good, huh?
Yeah.
God, what a voice. Love that dude. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. I cannot believe, and I mean, I understand maybe you got to recoup some of the money and people still got to get paid and it is what it is, but I still can't believe that the Alec Baldwin movie where the cinematographer Helena Hutchins was killed is actually coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. So here's the trailer for it.
The only order that exists in this world is the order we impose. If a man loses sight of that, he's got nothing. Some things in this life you can't get back, I reckon. Heaven ain't waiting on neither one of us.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Weird, right? I mean, I know. But people have died on other sets, big movies. I think somebody died on one of the Mission Impossible movies, like a stuntman or something like that. Like, it does happen. But I think that it was just the circumstances and the way that it was all handled and the way Alec handled it afterwards. Like, I don't know. There's just something about this. I don't
it's just
have
gonna
a lot
bring
of
negative
interest.
Heat.
And I've been watching a lot of Westerns lately, too.
Yeah.
Love Westerns, and I don't know.
Could
I'm
it
not,
be that
I'm
the family
down.
Is like, she would want this
movie
to come out?
Maybe, sure. I don't know. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. They released the full cast list for Avengers Doomsday yesterday.
Ooh, did they ever?
And it's a kind of combo between X-Men, Fantastic Four, like old school X-Men, Fantastic Four, and then some of the Avengers. Paul Rudd is coming back. Simu Liu's there. Tom Hiddleston. So Loki's back. Yelena, Florence Pugh is back. Sebastian Stan is back.
Oh, Winter Soldier.
Kelsey Grammer's back as Beast.
Oh, X-Men.
Chris Hemsworth. Thor's in there.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum as Gambit is in there.
Amazing.
Vanessa Kirby from the Fantastic Four movies that we'll see coming out. Alan Cumming is back as Nightcrawler.
Oh, dude, so good.
David Harbour's back. Rebecca Romijn is back.
Oh my gosh.
But I guess the two big surprises, because they were playing this out like the announcement they were going to make yesterday was bigger than Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. Mm-hmm. And the two big announcements that they made yesterday was that Patrick Stewart is back.
Oh, Professor X.
And Ian McKellen is back
as
Magneto. Oh. So those were the two big announcements yesterday.
Yeah.
But no Hulk.
I know. What's going on with him?
Right? Yeah, no Hulk and no Is Elizabeth Olsen back? Did her name pop up? And she's not
because
back,
she
right?
Announced,
which is weird because...
Don't you remember earlier this week, well, she announced
it was,
that she's...
It was kind of wishy-washy as
she's
an announcement.
She's not going to be Scarlet Witch no more.
Yeah, it was kind of wishy-washy. I was still holding out hope based on what she had said in that interview.
Unless they're saving...
But Professor X is in this.
I know. Unless they're saving Hulk.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
For like the final... Like, because, you know, sometimes they release a trailer and then all of a sudden you'll see, like, I don't know, the Green Hand.
Yes.
Or you'll hear.
Yeah.
But they announced so many other people. Why would, yeah. Like, in a five-hour video. Like,
I think that if you're going to hold back on somebody, it's he's not the one you hold back on.
Maybe Patrick Stewart would have been the one.
Yeah.
Because he's such a fan favorite.
But anyway, so those are the two big names, which is Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen showing
and
back
they start
up.
Production, right?
Yeah, they just started, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. Can't wait.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A few details coming out on the Jeff Bezos wedding this summer. The world's second richest man. So it's looking like it's going to happen in Venice, Italy. Mm-hmm. And... it's going to happen at the Gritti Palace. This is where George Clooney got married.
Nice.
Amal Clooney. And how it's going to work is because Venice is like all water and beautiful and everything else. So the wedding is going to take place there. Some of the guests that are reported to be heading up there are Oprah, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kim Kardashian, Bill Gates, like a real who's who. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the wedding is at one place. The guests are going to be staying at another place. So he's booking everybody hotel rooms
at a
place called the Aman Hotel. Mm. The suites at that hotel are $32,000 a night.
Oof.
And I've literally never heard this before in my life. The Aman Hotel is a 7-star.
Seven-star hotel?
What in the hell is a 7-star?
Each room comes with a butler, I'm
assuming.
That's
what I thought. Yeah.
Five stars at certain places have butlers.
But five is five.
Wait, what do you get out of six?
I don't know.
Maybe you get like helicopter rides to the hotel.
No, because you don't even need that. Because how Jeff Bezos is getting people from the 7-star hotel to the wedding venue is on board his $500 million yacht.
Got it.
Nice.
I've never heard of a 7-star.
Price saver right there.
Do you think they just did that on their own? Like it's a snooty thing?
Probably. Like they created the 7-star?
It's a self-flex. They created the 7-star?
100%, yeah.
Right?
This is a once and once only. Prime.
I respect it.
Exclusive Prime members only.
Yeah.
You get 7-star.
It's not an official rating.
I've never heard
of
a 7-star.
No.
Stop Googling, okay? Just let it be the thing. Right.
Well, it says, well,
I would just like to live in a world where there's a 7-star hotel.
That's amazing.
7-star.
Ton of texts here. The Burj Al Arab in Dubai is also a 7-star hotel.
Oh, excuse me.
It's exclusive.
I don't think people should just be making up 7 stars because they think they're better than everybody else.
But I would still like to know what
Roz,
a 6-star
is. If you had a hotel, you would put 7 stars for sure.
So. I would not want to run a 7-star hotel. It's too much pressure.
Give
me a motel in Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach?
What?
Myrtle Beach?
Yes.
Oh, no. I feel like you'd be that 7-star.
Mocha's doing his day of positivity today. And honestly, Maria, I think that you took all his negative energy.
I think I did.
I'd appreciate it if you just dialed it down,
are you okay
dialed
today,
it down
Maria?
A bit. No, I don't think you are.
Are
literally,
you okay?
I can't say a thing. I literally can't say a thing.
I'm so sorry.
No.
Okay? Hold on. Let's break
no,
this.
No, I'm serious.
No, like, I know, but let's break this down.
There's nothing I've been able to say.
I agree.
Right? I'd like you to dial it down a bit. dial it down.
Do we need to get to the bottom? Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I don't care if she's okay. That's not my concern.
Okay, you're just telling me to be nice, and you're telling me you don't even care if I'm okay.
I don't.
What kind of backwards thing is that?
I would like you to just be okay.
I am okay.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, you don't sound like you're okay every other day.
Dial it down.
No.
Just dial it down. See, this is what happens when Mocha's nice one day. One day, this is what happens.
Crazy.
Everything goes crazy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Blue Jays back in action tonight.
Yes, happy about that.
Damn it, Maury catching up with the voice of the Blue Jays, Buck Martinez.
Oh my goodness, it is the voice of your Toronto Blue Jays, Buck Martinez. You are the sign of a new season for Blue Jays baseball. How does it feel?
Well, it's just great to be back in Toronto, and I know The ballpark is great. It's spick and span. Everybody's ready for another great season. We had a good spring.
What is your favorite ballpark smell? What is the smell that that makes you feel right at home here at the ballpark?
Hot dogs. Of course it's hot dogs. Dog. Yeah, hot dogs and ballpark have been synonymous ever since they started playing the game.
Do you actually eat any hot dogs when you're doing your the play-by-play?
Especially on Looney Dogs night, we do. We get them sent up to the booth, and we'll have a hot dog from time to time.
Let's get a Go Jays Go from you.
I don't do Go Jays Go. It's Go Leafs Go. Let's go Blue Jays is what they say.
Huh? Yes, yes.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you screw that up, Maury?
Because he's wrong.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Everybody's going in on JoJo Siwa.
For what?
So she offered up a $900 VIP package to her concerts, right?
Oh.
And they're not, she's doing it's theater shows. Like JoJo Siwa's not selling out arenas or stadiums, right? So everybody's going in because they think that she's making her fans pay for manual labor. Like they have to pay to do manual labor. So part of the experience of the $900 ticket involves helping her and her road crew set up for the concert. So they say you are actually going to get to come during while we're loading in for the show, and you're going to get to kind of help us set it up and make sure things are right and test out the drums with me and the DJ booth with me.
Hold on a second. So you pay $900 to work for JoJo Siwa?
Yes.
And to be a tech person?
More details about the VIP package revealed on her website also include helping JoJo with her song selection, an exclusive invitation to soundcheck, and as part of the show prep, watching the concert from a designated audience area of their choice. And everybody's like, so basically you're paying to go to work for JoJo. But I'm like, if you're a huge JoJo fan, that to me seems all right. You get to help her with the list. You get to go up in the DJ booth. And
I'm sure they're not making you lift heavy equipment.
You can't because it's all union stuff anyway, right? Yeah. Like you can't, they're not going to be carrying stuff in.
Like maybe put on a set of headphones and be like, how does this sound?
Yeah. Right? Like here, we're going to, move this. Help me grab this keyboard for us, right? Sure. Like that kind of thing.
Or pick up this microphone stand from here and go put it 2 feet over there.
I think if you're a super fan, I think that's great. No? I don't see it as people having to pay to do labor.
Like, Maria, you're a big Morgan Wallen fan.
Huge.
If there was a Morgan Wallen experience where you got to travel to one show with Morgan Wallen and his crew and help set up, would you do it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Morgan Wallen, the Jonas Brothers, you name it, I'd be there.
I think it's a great experience, but everybody, literally everybody, especially her fans.
Has JoJo Siwa said
Are going in on him, I don't know. But to me, that's a great thing for fans. If they were like, hey man, you get to be on stage with us as we're setting up, I'm going to be there, and then we're going to go through the set list. As a fan, you get to go through the set list with me.
Yeah.
To me, that's $900 well spent.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Global markets went into a tizzy today after Donald Trump announced 25% tariffs on all auto imports into the U.S., which greatly affects everything here in Canada. Another announcement was Pierre Poilievre announced that he would allow Canadians to top up their TFSA contributions by $5,000 a year if you invest in Canada.
Very nice.
So that's a big one coming out of the Conservatives. Yesterday, Mark Carney was really taking it on the chin from everyone. So a story came out where it was revealed that he had put his investment funds in an offshore tax haven while he was the executive at Brookfield Asset Management. So his defense comes after it was found out that the funds that he personally was overseeing were all registered in Bermuda. The funds registered in 2021 and 2023, respectively, were geared towards investment in green energy and infrastructure, holding a combined asset combination of $25 billion.
Oh, boy.
All in offshore tax sheltered Bermuda accounts. So this is Mark Carney defending that choice.
In case of those Brookfield funds, what was the argument for registering the funds in Bermuda? Is it ethical to do that? And is it something as Prime Minister that you'd have to crack down on? I'm not sure if it's a problem, but is that something that you'd have to crack down on?
I think the important thing, Tom, is that the flow through of the funds go to Canadian entities who then pay the taxes appropriately, as opposed to taxes being paid multiple times before they get there. So that's how we have the structure. That's the structure that all of our pension funds, par exemple, the Caisse de dépôt, or Ontario teachers, or OMERS, municipal employees, or all the big pension funds in Canada, which are very successful, which protect union workers in many cases. I'm speaking of union workers today, and supply to them.
Not one single person thought that that was an answer.
No, it wasn't.
Not one single person. Here is Jagmeet Singh, leader of the NDP, talking about Carney's offshore accounts.
Mark Carney was personally responsible for two funds. He's the chair of Brookfield Investments, but he's personally responsible for two funds totaling $25 billion. And while he was chair, he chose to register those two funds, even though they're Canadian, he chose to register them in Bermuda, for the sole reason of avoiding paying taxes.
And here is Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre on Carney's Bermuda accounts.
Carney needs to come clean about his offshore dealings and how much of his assets are still hidden in tax havens. You know, Canadians deserve to know what financial interests a prime minister has. Here's the problem with Mark Carney. He's outsourced jobs. He's offshored his taxes. He's the most conflicted and compromised prime minister in our country's history.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it was
the Carney YouTube ads I'm about to get served are going to be quite different, I feel.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got to play you this wild clip. So I guess they're winding down Handmaid's Tale. I stopped watching that show a few seasons ago. Yeah, the first couple seasons were great, though.
I think the only person on our show that still watches it is Shem, right?
Yep, you still watch it.
You still watch Handmaid's
Tale? What season are they into now?
Oh, I want to say
five or six. Yeah, they take a while to put those things together. Yeah, the first couple seasons were decent. It was good television.
Yeah,
but
five.
But it just sort of went a different way. I wasn't interested in it. But so they're wrapping up. And when people wrap up these big shows, right, oftentimes when you're a star of the show or you work on the show, especially a show like Handmaid's with the costuming and everything else, it's like, what do you want to keep from that show for yourself, right? Yeah. So Elizabeth Moss is on with Jimmy Kimmel last night, and she tells the wildest story I've ever heard from a star of a show when it comes to the what did you keep when it was over.
We had an email sent to all of the EPs that said, like, it was a full list of all the props and costumes that we could take, and I basically...
Oh, really?
Yes, and in a very mature way, I wrote back dibs, and then proceeded to say everything I wanted. And there was one thing I wanted, which was Offred's underwear and set that I wore that was specially designed. And someone told me that someone already asked for it.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
I know.
This is your custom underwear that you wore.
Yeah.
And some creep on the staff requested it in writing? Requested it?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I want Elizabeth's underpants. I'm going to take them home. I'm going to put them in storage for a while.
Hopefully.
Yeah, best case scenario.
Best case scenario. I don't know who it was. I don't want to know.
Did you? You don't?
No.
I want to know. How
I
do
have
you
to
know?
Work with these people.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to work with these people. I don't want to know who wants my underwear.
What kind of a crazy thing is that to say?
Agreed.
Oh, my God. I hope it's a woman. I mean, really.
Who does that?
And the person who got that request, do they not ask? Like, do you not go to Elizabeth Moss and say, hey?
No, it was just a list of stuff.
No, I know, but
still.
And
they were like, Elizabeth's custom handmade underpants.
But let's say it was like, I don't know, a guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like somebody, like a lighting person.
Yeah.
And was like, I want the undies.
Yeah.
Like that person doesn't, like, yo, Jake. We need Elizabeth's undies for.
Who even puts those on the list for other people?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
For other people to take.
But what about the person being like, okay, here are the panties you requested.
Yeah.
Like giving it to them after.
Yeah.
Like
knowing that. You just go and you pick up your lot.
Yeah.
Like who's got it? Oh, Jake from lighting.
Right?
He really wanted them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild to
Along
me
with
that
the
somebody would do that.
They're not on eBay yet.
They're not. They will be. They will be.
I mean, you'd only hope, actually.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.